Father, just lead us this morning. And thank you for your leading. We just bless you, we praise you, and we honor you. Amen. I had a vision, or I saw you two, Lloyd and Tess. And I saw God's hand. And you were standing in God's hand in your wedding suit, Lloyd, and in your wedding gown, white wedding gown, Tess. You were like, I don't know if any of you saw the Sky Tower being built, but when the Sky Tower was built, the bottom of it, foundation, thank you. The foundation was so far down that the massive big trucks, when I looked down there, they were like matchbox toys. And that's what you look like in God's hand. And I said to God, why the clothes? And he said, because I've clothed them in righteousness. I said, why the hand? He said, because I've got them covered in my hand.
Yeah,
and Sandra, I believe you're asking Papa for something. And he says that he's going to answer your prayer. When I was 10 years old, my brother Andrew was 8. We were typical boys and always getting into trouble. If anything went wrong in the neighbourhood, you could be sure that Andrew and I were involved. Mum didn't know what to do with us, but she'd heard of a priest down the road who had a really good reputation for disciplining boys. So she persuaded my dad to send us to this priest. And the priest said, yeah, sure, but he wants to see us one at a time. So my brother Andrew went first. He sat in the priest's office and the priest said to him, where's God? And my brother just looked at him. And the priest, getting a little bit more agitated, said, where is God? And my brother just looked at him. The priest is now really quite agitated, getting a little bit angry, and he waves his finger at my brother and he says, where is God? Andrew up, bolts out of the room, runs home, slams the closet door. So I go in the closet and I say, what happened? What's the matter? He said, we're in big trouble this time, Kevin. God's missing and they think we did it. I'm pleased to say, church, that God's not missing. And while I was talking to him, I asked him, what would you like me to talk about? And he said, let my people go. And I thought, wow, that's a strange subject, let my people go. I said, what do you mean, Lord? And he said, I want to take them into the promised land. I want to take them into the promised land. So I thought about this and I looked up in Numbers, in Numbers chapter 13, and God spoke to Moses and God said to Moses, I want to take you, the children and the children of Israel, into the promised land. And further down in Numbers 13, we read how Moses sent the spies, the 12 spies, out into the promised land. And he said to them, go and spy out the land. I'm sure you all know the story. Look what it's like. Look at the people. And if you can get some produce and bring it back. So the spies went into the land and they did get some produce. And I'm sure you all know grapes and pomegranates and figs. And the grapes were so big that one bunch of grapes, two people had to carry out. And they came back. And Moses wanted to know what the report was. And the people of Israel wanted to know what the report was. And they said, this land is flowing with milk and honey. God wants to take us into a land flowing with milk and honey, church.
Yeah, that's right.
He wants to take us into a land flowing with milk and honey. Are we still in the wilderness? You see, what happened then was 10 of the spies said, but. The towns and cities are fortified. And there are giants in the land. They're so big that we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And they thought so too. And what came out of their mouths permeated through that whole tribe of Israel. And the tribe of Israel started to moan and groan and said, we'd rather be back in Egypt, or we would have rather died in the wilderness. You see, what came out of their mouths, church, created their destiny. Is what's coming out of our mouths creating our destiny? I really have a sense this morning that God wants to take us into the promised land, but he also wants you to do something about it. I love the New Living Testament, where it says in the New Living Translation, where it says in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Not just a yes, a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. You see, God's promised us all something. No matter what it is, he's promised it. We've got to agree with that. Our amen, our yes, has to agree with what God's promised. I was actually quite fortunate growing up. I grew up, my parents were pastors and evangelists amongst the Māori people, and most of you would know that. I've spoken about that before. But they lived on faith, which means that they never got paid. So we just basically relied on God's provision. You see, Dad believed if the Bible said it, that was it. And in Matthew it says, don't worry what you'll eat or drink or wear, because Papa already knows these things and he'll give you everything you need. He will supply, in Philippians, he will supply all your needs. Dad believed that. And so whenever we needed food, whenever we needed clothes, whenever we needed a new car even, either money or the car would turn up, food would turn up, clothes would turn up. And I had the privilege of growing up like that. Church, if you can get around people of faith, people like Tom Bali and some of these girls who live on faith and hear their stories, I love getting together with Tom Bali. Go and shout him a cup of coffee or lunch and tell him to tell you some of his stories. I remember one story, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but I remember one story when he was at the airport. He had no money to get, he had to get back to New Zealand. He had no money to get back. He didn't have a ticket for the plane. And guess what? He's here today, so he must have got back. If you want to hear about the story, you go and shout him lunch. You know, last week Pam talked to us, told us a little story about Graham Cook. You remember that story, guys? How Graham Cook saw the guy in the coffee shop sitting down, and God said to him, I want you to write out this prayer and go and give it to that guy. That guy's daughter, he just found out, for those of you who weren't here last week, he just found out that his daughter was a drug addict and prostituting herself to pay for her habit. He was also an atheist, by the way, the guy. Graham Cook gave him that prayer that God wrote out for him. And what did he say? What did Graham Cook say to that guy? He said, I want you to pray this prayer every single day until your daughter comes home. Why did he say that? Every single day until your daughter comes home. I believe that God wants us to repeat his promises, not once, not twice, but every single day until they happen. Every single day until they happen. You see, 6 months later, that man's daughter came home. Why? I believe Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And by him repeating that day after day after day, he received it in his heart. He started to believe it in his heart. And once he believed it, guess what happened? He received what he was praying for. So I believe it's really important. Sometimes we repeat a promise. We come and get prayed for up here. But I believe it's important that we have to do our bit. And we have to repeat it day after day after day until what we're asking for comes to pass. I have a son who's an alcoholic and a legal drug addict. What is a legal drug addict? Well, he's on about 20 drugs from the doctors. In the last 2 months, he spent 1 month of that time in hospital with another disease that he's just contracted. He's lost 14 kgs in the last 2 months. The doctors have told him if he doesn't give up drinking, that's it. I can see with my eyes. I can hear what the doctors say. I can feel in my heart. Or I can believe what God says. You know, those spies, they saw with their eyes. They heard what the others were saying there. They felt. But they didn't believe what God said. And church, that's what we need to do. You know, in Isaiah, it says, soon your descendants will come back, and all who are trying to destroy you will go away. Look around you and see, for all your children will come back to you. The captors of warriors will be released. The plunder of tyrants will be retrieved. For I will fight those who fight you, and I will save your children. You know, God said it, I believe it. Isaiah, that's in Isaiah 49, from verse 17. You see, it's to God's glory. We're singing about the glory of God. It's to God's glory that our sons, our children get saved. It's to God's glory that if you're sick, you get well. It's to God's glory if you're missing something, if you're lacking something, that you get it. We want to glorify him, and it's to God's glory. And so I will repeat that day after day after day until I see. And I stand here and tell you. I stand here and tell you and glorify God. You know, if you're struggling with anything today, anything at all, let's give it. Let's give it over to him. Growing up, we used to sing a song. Standing on the promises of God. And this is how it goes. Standing on the promises of Christ my King through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Are we standing this morning, church? Are we standing this morning? Let's stand on his promises. Let's repeat it over our lives and over the lives of our family and over anything you're lacking this morning. Let's repeat it because we will receive it to his glory.